God. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you out on a Tuesday night. And it is a good crowd for Tuesday night. In fact, if you look at, I've done a study, obviously, I look at a lot of revivals, and because when you're in a big city, you get lots more people because there's more people around. Kingston is not tiny, but it's small compared to the city of New York. And even when you compare it, I mean, with that great worldwide revival that touched the world through media with Lakeland, 10, 12,000 in the weekends and 3, 4, 5,000, if that, during the week. Had to shut one of the tents down, close it off. There's only enough people coming to fill one tent. Now, that's still a lot of people, 3 or 4,000. But when you compare it, be getting a couple hundred here, whatever, on the weekends, and if you get 50, 60, 80, 100, during the week, that's very, very good. And it really is. And that's why we've got to look at it. Sometimes we think revival only breaks out if every night of the week is packed out. Not necessarily. All you need in a town this size and a church with the capacity of what it can hold, if you get between 50 to 100 people coming out midweek, which we've got easily that tonight, what happens is it keeps the momentum building. Hungry people come out, and a momentum in the Spirit is built. So by the time it gets to the weekend again, and people aren't so busy during the week, whatever, people start coming in, and there's an incredible momentum. But if you just rely on the big numbers and say, well, we won't worry about it till Friday or Saturday, then we know that's going to be completely filled or packed, then all we're interested in is numbers, and all we're interested in is having the big crowd that looks good. But the thing is, friends, it's building a momentum. Because if you really believe in revival, it usually takes 2, 3, 4 weeks to bust the thing right through. And what happens is people's lives begin to change. Sick bodies begin to get healed. There's been all sorts of miracles happening these last few weeks. What day is it? Is it day 13 today? 14. Goodness me, you wild bunch. And that's marvelous. But you see, the amounts of people. Who's here tonight who's not from this church? Okay. That's about half. That's good. And so, but welcome visitors. And that is a sure sign. That as revivals begin to break out, what happens is hunger in people's hearts grow, keeps growing. Next thing is an avalanche of lost souls come in. All sorts of things start to happen. The amount of changes that are gone in people's lives is amazing. Here's that gentleman who was telling me what happened to him the other night. You with the cap on right at the back. Come and tell us. Just give him a hand as he comes. Yeah, here he comes. Come on down. He had a marvelous experience the other night. Tell us about it to inspire the people.
No. On Sunday, the last 2 weeks, a lot of things have happened to me. And on Sunday, I told God that if he was really alive in my life, I wanted to hear a certain song that we haven't heard. In fact, I didn't even know it was a Vineyard song. We haven't heard it in 15 years, and this church has never sang it. And, of course, you know, Steve played it. And then later on that night, when I was talking to Steve, I found out that the song he actually played, he started off playing another song, and a few syllables into the song, he switched songs to the song that I wanted God to play for me. So God does listen.
You got any more?
Oh.
Which song?
I just want to praise him.
What I started to sing, or what I started to play was, I sing praises. Then I suddenly switched it to, what is it?
I just want to praise
him. That's right. So I forgot.
I just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. And I just want to
praise you. Sorry, I've forgotten it. You see, when I'm in the Spirit, I can do it. Hang on, I'll get it. That's terrible.
Just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say I love you. You are everything to me. And I exalt your holy name, and I exalt your holy name, and I exalt your holy name on high.
So that's amazing. That actually is on my first CD. I've got CDs. It's for sale downstairs.
Oh.
Whit, could you go get a Whitney? Would you mind going downstairs before me and getting a copy of each of the CDs and the four pack? And I haven't promoted them. I've just mentioned them. And did you want to say anything else? You don't have to. I'm just saying, hey, you got something else on you?
I just thought you could have come in.
Well, does somebody else want to testify what God's been doing in you in these meetings, anywhere from 13 days ago? Come on, there's people here. There are lots of you coming up and saying what God's done. Come out, sir. Just make it brief and snappy. So take the mic off you. It's simple. How you going, man?
Here you are, sir.
Yeah, I just say be brief. I'll make it brief. I said, since 76 I got saved. I was a drunk, a carouser, a professional thief. I was a bum. That's what, you know, that's what I call him now. But I was in the world. I was lost. I was raised a good little Catholic boy. Every Saturday I went to confession, and I came out after I had communion, and actually I went out and did what I did again. I didn't know grace. I'm glad to hear you singing about grace here. I don't care what religion, what faith, whatever you are. I personally have a heart for the Jewish people, and I pray that everybody else does too. If you don't, you better catch it, because it's a commandment. I love the Lord. I get closer to the Lord. And I always try to bring folks with me, no matter where I go. I've been quite a few places. And if somebody is here thinking you're on the edge, thinking there's no hope, you did it all, you tried it all, you haven't gone any place if you haven't come into that secret place with him. If you get to that place, that's the first time I told my sister in the Lord, 15 or 20 years, I have not gone under the power of the Lord. The other night I was here, Sunday night, and I went under the power of the Lord. And not that I'm stubborn, I probably am, but I brought somebody else to be blessed, and I got blessed. Stay close to God. We're coming to perilous times. He says you have to get close to him. He promises to take you through. He promises to carry you. He says he's right there with you. Footprints in the sand, I think most of us know that. When you say, where was your Lord? I was carrying you when you need the most. His footprints was there alone. Stay with him forever. Praise him forever. When the devil gives you a hard time, get up, stand up, shout it out, and say, Satan, you belong under my foot. That's where you are supposed to be. I'm above those things of the world. I'm in Christ now, a new creature. Amen?
Wonderful.
I love you.
Great, man. Bless you. Somebody else.
Yeah. Brother, I want you to pray for me. My father-in-law is dying. Right now, been a preacher for 18 years. It's tough, brother. My wife is like messed up,
Come on, man. Have a couple of helpers out here. Be good.
Five kids and everything.
Just lift your hands to Jesus. He's going to take that burden right off you tonight. You know what God's power is all about. Stretch your hands towards him, friends. Father, we thank you for this man who's devoted the last 18 of his years, his life to you. The devil's been attacking him from every side. And in Jesus' mighty name, his power breaks now. His power breaks now. Devil, get your hand off this man of God's life in Jesus' name. I command peace to come into his house. Get off his wife. Get off his family in Jesus' name. I command to let him go in Jesus' name. Peace of God, the anointing of God to flood his soul. Heal his father in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, let this man win more souls to Jesus Christ than he's ever done in his whole life. Let him move in the power of God like he's never moved in the power of God before. Let the healing power of God come upon him, healing people like he's never healed before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You stay there as long as you need to, sir. This is what revival meetings are all about. The Holy Ghost just overwhelms people. The burdens of the heart come out. It's really what it's all about, friends. That's how you know when a revival's happening. Same with you in the meetings. If you feel a need to laugh or cry, you just do that. Because if you don't, because you're too worried about what people think, you'll miss out what God's doing in your life. That's what these meetings are designed for. This is not church. It's not a local church meeting. It's revival meetings. There's no set plan or order. Just whatever the Holy Ghost wants. Anybody else got a testimony to do with what God's been doing in your life in these meetings? Come. Come to the front so everyone can see your pretty face.
Well, I have kind of a funny story. My name's Esther, and my husband's name is Bob. And last night, well, we've been here for the past, like, 14 days, however long it's going. And last night, it was late, and we were going to bed and saying our prayers over each other and stuff, and he said his, and then I said mine, and I just started talking to God and going on and on and on, and he fell asleep because he was so tired. And at the end of the just talking to God, I said, "I love you." And he snapped out of his sleep and goes, "I love you too," thinking I'm talking to him. And I was just laughing for a couple minutes, thinking, like, that's so funny. He just automatically responds to that. But I can just, my love for God has been growing so much that now it's like my bridegroom is Jesus. And yeah.
Good on you. Someone else.
Being in these meetings, I got the fire back right before Roy came. It wasn't that I was like away from God, but I just was kind of going through the motions, felt complacent. And being here in this atmosphere and just Roy released the fire, and now Brother Steve, he's keeping that fire burning. And like about a week ago, I led 6 people to the Lord in one day. Like, God was giving me words of knowledge for people. I was praying for people in the mall, and the power of God was hitting people. And I went again today, actually, to the mall, and no salvations, but I was planting seeds, and I was a little down. I was like, God, forgive me that they didn't get saved. And I was reminded by the Word. The Word says sometimes you sow, sometimes you water, and sometimes you reap. So I just thank God for the seeds that were planted, and people are being touched. And revival is here. It's been awesome. And one other thing that was kind of funny was tonight, in worship, I don't know if anyone noticed that I went like this, like I was hugging an invisible person. But the thing, in the spirit, I saw Jesus standing in front of me, and he gave me a hug, like around my neck, like the way a dad would hug a son. And he had my head like against his chest, and he was like holding the back of my head. And I could feel God's presence on that so strong right now. And I'm like, can I just hug you in my heart? You know what I'm saying? But he's like, you know, give me a hug back. And when I just did that motion, like I was hugging him, I felt so stupid, like, you know, in the natural, but in the spiritual, I knew I was hugging Jesus back. And he began just speaking to me such awesome things. It was like that act of faith of stepping out and giving him the hug back, like released the portal for him to be able to speak to me. And so I just want to encourage you, it's awesome. Come here, get blessed, but then go out and be a blessing. Tell somebody else about Jesus. Buy somebody gas, but do something to give his love and his fire away. There's nothing like Roy said, you look someone right in the eyes and you say, you know what, man? God is real. He has plans for you. He loves you. Jesus is real. He wants to save you. And you'll be surprised. That's not even the words that you say. It's just the heart behind the words that'll touch people's hearts. Let's do it, guys.
That's good, man.
I guess I got to apologize to you because during worship, I was waiting for a time where worship would die down to say, I think someone in here needs to just hug God. I feel God is next to you. I actually pictured, because Vaughn, you know, is quite big, and I love how big he is because I could squeeze him really hard and I won't hurt him. Because I'm known for my strong hugs, and my grandmother loves it, but I don't want to break her back. But I don't know. The Lord told me, he's like, I'm standing next to you, big, just like Vaughn. Just give me a hug. And I just felt like saying that for the congregation, and you went ahead and did it. So that was just awesome. I know the Lord spoke to you in that. And I guess it's a small testimony. It's just been awesome that, you know, when Roy had us going till like 2 in the morning, I had to work at 5:30 in the morning. And I was trying to decide, am I delirious because I didn't get any sleep, or am I delirious because this is the Spirit, because I've been in it for so long and it's been awesome. And what's funny is I started listening to talk radio again, and, you know, everything I listen to, they're all fired up about everything that's going on in the world. And I try not to let it bother me, but I felt it coming again where I was just getting angry at certain things and, you know, all the politics stuff. And then it's funny because I had Roy's CD and I was just like, forget this. And I just put in Roy's CD. And it's just funny how something inside me just flipped a switch. And I was just like, yeah, I'm keeping that fire going. I'm not going to let it die. So keep it going.
Yeah, these sort of things start happening in revival where, you know, we can look at anything. Oh, he's probably too much pizza tonight, having Jesus hug him and all this. But I believe in all that sort of stuff. I really do. Whitney had when she went to the Lakeland Revival with some friends of ours in the car park. The meeting didn't do much for the meeting for that particular night. But out in the car park, she just laughs and cries for ages and has a whole vision of Jesus and the crucifixion, all that sort of thing, and really put a lot of impartation to her life. So things can happen in the visionary realm. And that's what it's really, it's a good thing. It's what it's all about. And I mean, I've seen it where children start to have revelations of like something from the book of Ezekiel where there's no way they could have that Bible knowledge at 4, 5, 6 years of age, and describing scenes from the Bible that normally you have to study for ages and get real revelation from God to understand what it means. And all these sort of things begin to happen in revival. And as we keep this thing going, the amount of time it goes on, of course, is subject to this host church, the leadership, but this thing keeps going on. It won't be long before gold dust will begin to flow. Just things like that, because I go for the glory. And that's why we design songs. I write songs or I use songs that are so simple. Sometimes I get embarrassed with musicians like we've got here. They're so good. But I believe in just this. God always gives me simple songs so we can get into a prophetic flow. Because it's a prophetic that releases the glory. Just singing song after song is a good thing, but that won't get the glory. It might get an anointing. If you want to get into the glory, you've got to just be spontaneous. He's got to go for it. And anything can start happening. I went through a phase about a year, where I knew people were going to be healed because gold dust would just come on them in the meeting. And I mean, you'd see it all over them. Sometimes it'd be all in their hair and all this sort of stuff. And so easy to move in the spirit then. They just follow the gold dust. Not the bull dust, the gold dust of God. Why does God do that? It's just a sign. Gold speaks of purity. It speaks of the coming, the bride's coming, the bridegroom is coming for his church. And we might have 50 years left, we might have 5 minutes, who knows? We just got to be ready. That's the important thing. Anybody else got a testimony to do with what God's been doing in these meetings in the last couple of weeks? What, two? That's right, two of you come. That's good.
We know each other, actually. I was saved about 2.5 years ago, about a half hour from here. I was taken away from an addiction of heroin, and I have the opportunity to work in God's ministry up there and share my testimony with other men that come up to TLC. But a lot of times I get so stuck with ministering, I don't always get ministered to. And over the last couple of weeks coming here, we were going through a lot of worship, and it was just funny that you said we're going to keep worshiping for a little while longer, because the one night I was just so beat that I sat down, and no more than 5 minutes later, Pastor Vaughn came up, and he leans over, and he says, you stand up, you put your hands in the air, you start singing the song, or you never have your breakthrough, man. And I did. I listened to him, and I just stood up. I didn't even know the song, but I just sang as best I could. And it's been an amazing breakthrough with the worship for me over the last couple of weeks. So it's just been wonderful. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to, because I'm a pastor of a church, I was here that Saturday. And when I got before the congregation on Sunday, before I even preached, God just told me to pour out. But it was this big brother that's in our church, and he's been dealing with spinal problem, like scoliosis. And he was totally healed. He got up and he said, "Brother, all the pain is gone." And there was other lady who had her disc with pressure on her back. And she came up and I touched her and she went and sat back down. At the end of service, she said, "All the pain has gone out of her back." And then this Sunday, I prayed for this man. And when I prayed for him, he just hollered and his wife jumped like from the back and came running up. I guess she thought I shot him or something. But he just started screaming out from the top of his lungs, "Father, I forgave them. I forgave them." I guess there was a spirit of unforgiveness in him, and God just broke it right off. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I am so free." And he was sitting on the floor crying. He said, "Leave me alone." Told his wife, "Leave me alone." He said, "At this point, I am just so free." So I just thank and praise God for this revival, because it is really breaking out in the city of Kingston. Amen.
It's even on the webcam. You'd be amazed how many people overseas are watching this. Probably there's obviously a lot of my friends in Australia hearing what's going on here now. And so they're watching. And the emails I'm getting from Australia is the power of God. They can feel it coming through their computer screens. And all sorts of things are happening. We've been hit by the power of God in their lounge rooms or in their offices, wherever else they are. So God does an amazing thing. We just look at these meetings and think, wow, it's pretty good. But it's actually touching people from all over New York, whoever else is looking at it. We don't know. But maybe you can find out if someone checks into it. But this thing, these meetings, it's an amazing thing, is actually going international. And we think, well, here we are just in little old Kingston, where not too many people worry about. And yet, the possibility of this thing breaking out that touches the world is not so far-fetched. It is not so far-fetched. Some revivals are broken out in small towns. The Smithton revival. I don't think Smithton is a very big place. It's not a massive place. And that revival, people think it's ended. It's actually rekindled again. The pastor's got on fire again. It's on again, you know. And and the revival is not hard to get into. All you need is hungry people, hungry hearts. That's all you need. That's all you need. So people are getting touched by webcam. People are getting touched in these meetings. We've had scores of healing. Sometimes I was thinking, why isn't everyone jumping up testifying? Because we get so many difference of people every night. If we could get the same people to come each night, this building, we'd have to go to the overflow room downstairs. We'd have to. And sometimes I often say to God, like this morning when I was praying, I think, oh God, if you could just bring everybody back who's just been in this section, my section of the revival meetings, this place would be packed even at midweek. But you can't push people, you can't force them. All you can do is just encourage people to come along, encourage them to bring their friends. But I'm telling you, I know I've done these things many, many times before, and there'll be a crack in the spirit soon. What do you mean by a crack in the spirit? We all crack. No, there'll be a sound. The sound of heaven's already here, but it'll increase and it'll increase. And there'll be some point in the meeting where those who are spiritual, you'll just hear it. You're like, wow, we're on another level now. This is it. It could be in the middle of worship. Could be in the middle of preaching. Could be in the middle of someone giving a testimony. Could be the altar call. And all I know is that not everybody will see it, but those who are spiritual, that means I'll just, there's a breakthrough. Something's happening. And you might say, oh, could it get better than this? This is, we give God the glory for everything, but this is just the very beginning. You wait till the glory cloud of heaven starts coming in here. To the glory cloud of heaven comes in and bolts of lightning just come out of it and hit people and zap them in their head. They're under the power of God and struck dumb for a long time. I've seen all these things, but it takes a while to get there because you've got to get a group who believe that. And it takes a little bit longer when you get a basic same 30, 40 people, but a different crowd every night. Because you've got to, the atmosphere is here, but you've got to kind of build again and build again. And then what happens is, strangely enough, after a while, you start to get in some of the meetings, all the people that come along, suddenly one night they all turn up together. And everyone thinks, wow, this grew quick. And it does, but then all of a sudden people just get more and more hungry. And so we just got to keep at it. And like I say, it's up to the leadership of this church, because they're the host church, how long it goes for. If I had my way, we'll be here for for a long time, building this thing right up, and it'll just break through. I also think in regards to what this Mr. Whitehood was talking about, I don't know his name, so he's wearing white, so he's Mr. Whitehood tonight. And, you know, I would just like to challenge people on Saturday morning that we'll just lead a team, because I've done lots of street ministry myself. And those who are interested, at 10 o'clock we'll meet here. We'll get some flyers done up and we'll hit the streets. As Roy says, and I believe the same fully, that, you know, if we're receiving the fire, we've got to give it out. Otherwise, it eventually goes out in us. We've got to give it out and give it out and give it out. So those who are interested, a couple of weeks ago, there's 40 people showed up. Matt, it'd be great if we could get more than that, but whether we get that or not is irrelevant. We just need hungry people to come and just give out flyers. You know, if you don't know what to do, then go with somebody who's a little bit more experienced. It doesn't take much just to... It is hard. I've seen tens of thousands come to Christ in crusades, but God always challenges me to street witness. Even I find it hard because I think, oh, it's easier to see in big crusades 100 to 200 a night coming out that I've seen quite a number of times in big meetings. But to go and witness to one person, that's not easy. But it becomes easy the more you do it. So even I've got to challenge myself. You know, I can't preach to you if I'm not doing it myself. So I'm going to get out there and I'll be as nervous as you guys. And come along. We'll meet at 10 o'clock. If there's any leaders in this church, is that all right to do that? Thank you. Because I was going to do it anyway. But I'm just teasing. But, you know, things like that is not going to interfere. I think God will forgive us for trying to win some souls to him. But we've got to keep it out there. And a strange thing will happen. The more we get out there, even if it's only a handful, we get out there and witness, the night meetings just take off even more. And souls start to get saved. This is a secret to Roy's ministry. While you can swear everybody's Christians in the place, and he'll still get a handful of people saved and backsliders restored. Why? Because him or his wife, if he's not in preparing meetings, his wife is out there leading teams out there in evangelism, and God says, I'll reward your ministry for that. It's just the way it goes. We'll have one more testimony. Elaine, could you come and tell us about what happened with your daughter on Sunday morning as she was watching the webcam? It's just to inspire and to inspire people on the webcam that they're feeling. I'm getting emails saying the glory of God they're feeling in their rooms. This is just very interesting. Thank you.
Sorry, Ashley. Sunday morning, we stayed at home to rest, and of course we couldn't go without watching. So we had it on, and we were just kind of doing our thing as a family. We had a late breakfast, and we had the laptop in the dining room, and it was going, and weren't really totally paying attention. My daughter Ashley was sitting on the couch, and I knew that she was disappointed because he was praying for healings for people, and she has issues with her knees that at 15 is really discouraging. And so she sat there and she's, you know, feeling like she's missing out. And then Steve addressed the people listening on the web that they were going to be touched by Jesus. So she just started bawling. And I didn't want to draw attention to it, you know, so I'm just telling the children she's all right, you know, and we just kept eating and she's crying and crying and crying. So she ends up on the floor, on her knees, just with her head on the floor, and she's crying and crying and crying. So I just let her alone. And the next thing I knew, she's laughing. And she could not stop laughing. It was just like you couldn't make her stop laughing. And she laughed 15 minutes. I've never seen her laugh for that long in my life, ever, about anything. And she laughed uncontrollably for 15 minutes, and she just got up. She's just like, that was awesome.
That's wonderful. How's those knees of yours? Feeling better? Come out. We'll get God to heal those things so you can go back dancing again, whatever else you like doing. What a musical family. The kid plays the drums, the daughter plays the bass. What else can you guys do? Who? The son plays the guitar. Wow. That's amazing. And hubby's up there in the sound booth. Is that you up there? Yes, there he is. Turn around and give him a wave. You guys do a great job up there. You do. Just lift your hands, Ashley. Stretch your hands towards. I'm going to believe God's going to heal these knees. Father, we thank you that she says she's feeling better. But, Lord, I ask you to complete the healing. Feeling better is okay, but it's not quite good enough for me, God. I know you can totally heal these knees. Father, give her a break. She's only 15. She needs to be healthy. And so from your point of view, that's nothing. You can just take away that inflammation. Any joints that have been worn, you can just rectify that problem. And I ask you, Father, as soon as I lay my hand upon her head, the power of God is going to begin to heal whatever is wrong in those knees. Going to totally heal her so she can get on with what her dreams in God are all about. In Jesus' mighty name, I command that to happen in Jesus' name. Let that healing power of God go through her right now in Jesus' name. I command your knees to be healed. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Did you want to say something else? You can preach if you want. Yes, of course you can. Come. You got to put the mic right in your snogger. Your mouth, I mean.
It's not really like me to talk in front of people, but when you said it means so much to people everywhere who are listening to this, sometimes I realize where I come from, and it's like looking back and going, my God, I was so damaged, I was so damaged, I was so damaged, and really knowing that for yourself what your breakthroughs are, and really that it's so important because sometimes only we can understand where we've been and how hard it's been. And I mean, I remember probably most of my life I've been a shut-in, and I used to live in anywhere, any kind of dump, and I lived in Manhattan in squats, and I couldn't talk, and I didn't know how other people talked to each other and why they wanted to, and you know, I wanted to be normal, but there was just a way that I could never get out. It was like an invisible box. And it was so painful. And for me, even though I'm awkward sort of socially, like I know when the church breaks up, I don't know why this happens, but I get very anxious to get out of here. But I love being here, and I realize how much the words, even though they just may happen in small increments for me, and even though they may not stick, and even though I may not know how to repeat them to other people, that there's such a big difference in who I was when I came in here. And I think we can look at people and not understand, you know, that I was completely mentally ill. I mean, I was just, I'd try and go to the hospitals. I couldn't sit inside the hospital and talk to the therapist. They'd meet me in the park, and light would hurt, sound would hurt. Everything just felt it was excruciating. Excruciating to be alive. And I never felt like I'd even enjoy being alive in the least little bit. And then it's been really, I mean, sometimes when I think I have so many problems, and I do, and but then I feel like, you know, I never thought I could ever experience joy or peace. And I've had those experiences. And, you know, I just want to say to the people who feel like the world doesn't understand you that sometimes you just have to let yourself, I mean, understand that, yeah, you are on your own. And maybe the world doesn't like you. You don't get along with most people. But go to the places where you know those words help, or somebody like you is willing to stay up late at night, or how they changed this church and made it a beautiful place, and that I really appreciate a place like this to come to and people like you. Because in my own silent, maybe secret way, I've come a long way because of all of you. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Bless you. And that's what revival is all about. It's changing people. You just don't know what God's doing in meetings like this. The amount of people who've come up to me have only been here a few days. And just saying what God has been doing in their life and how he's changing them. That's what it's all about. It's not just about God healing the physical body. That's very, very important. But it's what God does as he deals with people's soul, their hurts and their disappointments. And I'll talk more about that in my message tonight, but it's just a beautiful thing. And I've seen God do the same sort of thing in my own nation and various parts of the world. I'm talking about in Singapore, in Kuala Lumpur, at the Philippines, in South Africa, in New Zealand, in Tasmania, which is like another little island off Australia, and all over America and other places. I've seen God do this exact same thing, and I never get tired of it. I'm often amazed that just by extended worship and just when I'm pastoring my own church, my sermons are a little bit more structured, but in these places, you endeavor to speak the word of God, but the Holy Ghost just takes you on little rabbit trails because you're picking up people's needs in the meeting, what they need to hear. And these aren't about giving great sermons. These are about ministering into people's lives. And it's just Jesus. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. It's powerful. And I do have CDs down on display in the bottom room that I think are very, very powerful. It's just worship like I was doing tonight when I got up in the band. We were working together there. In fact, most of those songs we did tonight, apart from one, is all on the some of these CDs. This CD, Quiet Times, I ran out of covers because I sold that many of them. So I've got to have new covers done. So this is $10. The others are $12. This is $10, but you can see I've got a four-pack CD, which every one of these individual CDs are in this one for $40. So you're saving yourself about 15, 16 bucks to purchase this one. And then all the songs on the back here, you'll find that Quiet Times, what the songs are, okay? And a lot of the CDs have got my own songs on it, but I've chosen songs like this one, The Journey with the Holy Spirit, around the world. For whatever reason, this one, my second CD I produced in 2002-3, whenever it was, this sells the most around the world. I'm amazed. I go into some, I've gone into places, I've been into shops, I've been into dentists, and I hear that music thinking, I recognize that music, that's me, that's mine. And somebody's got a hold of it, they're playing in their surgeries, and I'll say to them, are you Christians here? No. I said, why are you playing that Christian music? I said, it just brings incredible peace in the place. Physiotherapists and masseurs, they use a lot of my music. It puts people to sleep, I guess. But anyway, brings people. It just brings people into a real peace in God. This is my journey with the Holy Spirit. And I tried to capture it. And in the recording studio when I was doing it, you've got to imagine the full sound because you're doing different tracks. There's the piano track, and there's the voice track, and there's the backing vocals, and there's the guitar. And when you're singing, it's hard to really get a hold of the anointing because you're just singing to a bland piano. But you've got to, in your mind, imagine and see the end of it all coming together. And then those who have been in recording stuff, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't worry, just nod as if you do know what I'm talking about. But anyway, when we were recording this one, I had to stop quite a number of times because I was falling under the power every time. Boom, because the power of God that was on the songs, and it comes through. This one, most people either sit on their lounge or something, because if you stand up halfway through, you'll be falling under the power of God, no doubt about it. So it's a bit dangerous to drive and listen to it. But there's just an anointing. The anointing is captured on this one. I think they're all anointed, but for some reason, this one has been captured, the biggest anointing. That's Journey with the Holy Spirit. Then I got Worship the Father. It's all about worshiping the Father, and the songs are on the inside. So when you go downstairs, apart from the Quiet Times, which you'll find all the words on the back of the four pack, all the other CDs, if you open up the front cover, you'll see all the song titles there. And so you can either purchase this one for $40, which has just got all these CDs in it, or three of these CDs are $12. And the Quiet Times is $10. So I think you'll find you'll enjoy that music. If you want to, in fact, I might as well give these away. Who'd like Quiet Times? Who'd like Listen, I had a family get up and testify once. I've got 5 kids, and I can never get them to sleep. But for the last 2 years, they've been listening to Steve's CD, Journey with the Holy Spirit, and they all fall asleep. That's the truth. You want to fall asleep? It's yours. This is higher ground. This is basically some of the old hymns that I've got a choir sound on it. And it's pretty good when it's different to the others. Would you like that? I think you'll like that. Worship the Father. Who'd like that one? All right. I'm not going to. No, I better not. Roy threw one and split someone's head open and their brain stuck out. So I don't want to know that. That's exaggerating it totally. If you're listening to this tonight, Roy. Journey with the Holy Spirit. You can have that one. Who'd like the whole lot? Oh, God, this is hard. I'll just throw it in the air, and whoever catches it, it's yours. I'll leave it there, and the first one to get it, it's yours. The rest of you can buy them. I'd love to give them all away, but they cost thousands of dollars each. It's probably between the four, well over $20,000 to produce them all. And still a couple of them I'm paying off still, so that's why I have to charge. And plus it helps in the ministry as well. And you've got to do these things when you're full-time and just traveling. But anyway, you people are good. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's so wonderful that you're sitting next to me tonight. Give him a big smile, show him your nice green teeth, whatever. Isn't this crazy? A Tuesday night, we're all here in church. I think it's great. Look, we're just going to receive a love offering for our ministry tonight. I've been permission to take my own offerings in these meetings. And why do I say that? Because I believe that the amount of authority you have is if you're under authority. By under, we don't like to use that word because it means someone's in control of you. No, but I've learned right from a young man that when I was being trained by my spiritual dad, my first spiritual father, who trained me up as a youth pastor, my youth group exploded into hundreds very quickly. But whenever he used to come to the youth group, which was a youth church, it was just a revival every Saturday, literally. I used to get 100 to 150 youth show up for half nights and full nights of prayer once a month. And to go on a social, I'd be lucky to get 30 out. They weren't interested. They said, we could socialize all week. We want God, you know. And that was in the 80s. So right from the beginning of my ministry, just revival, everything I've done. But whenever the senior pastor used to come, I say, isn't it good to have our pastor here tonight? And whenever I'd go away and preach, they'd say, wow, you're better than your senior pastor, Steve. That's powerful. I said, no. I said, what it is because I'm in submission to him, I've got my anointing plus his anointing coming through. I would never let anybody try and infer that I was better than somebody, especially the guy that trained me. And I found that I've never had trouble with loyalty in any churches I've started. I set the right foundation. I sowed the right seed right from the early 80s. So when I started planting churches that grew very quickly, I'm not saying that every person I put on was right, because sometimes when you're nothing 1 week because you're just starting and then 6 months later you're 300, how many of you know that's a lot of people to grow and that's a lot of people to look after, especially out of 2 weeks of every month I was away preaching somewhere else. Meanwhile, the church is exploding. Sometimes I put people on a bit too quickly and their selfish agendas would come out. But basically, I never had trouble with loyalty because I gave it. I've never had to demand authority from people I've worked with. I've never had to say, I'm the leader, you'll do what I say. I don't believe in that. We're friends. And there's no difference between me and the church cleaner. Just we submit to one another's different functions. That's all the difference is. And because I sowed that. And so if you're going to go ahead in your ministry, you've got to be accountable to someone. And we've been so church hurt, some of us, even saying that makes us freak out. We've either been under a bad authority in the way we've been brought up, or our bosses have abused us, or even some pastors, unfortunately, misuse their authority with people. But you know, but the reality is, friends, we've all got to be accountable to someone. And so I make mention of church leadership here because I'm accountable to them while I'm here. Because if I'm accountable to them, and it's easy because they're men of the Spirit, and Vaughan's coming back, and, you know, he's a great guy. But, you know, That's easy. But some places I've been to, they put time restrictions on. You want people out here by 9:30. So they waffle on with their own worship band for an hour and a half and expect me, because everyone comes because of my worship and the moving of the Spirit, and they give me an hour, and I've got to lead worship, preach, and do an altar call for 300 or 400 people, however many's there, all in an hour. But I do it. I think, right, they've given me to 9:30. It's not my problem, Lord. If they squash this at 9:30, it's their problem, not mine. But in the end, I stopped going to places like that. So unless I get total freedom, I won't go. I didn't mean I can do what I like and be stupid, but if I can't get freedom to exercise that gift and release it, what's the point in going? And it's cost me a few big invitations at times, but it's not about invitations. It's about giving people God, friends. There's a lot of better things we could be doing tonight, but what better thing is there to be in the presence of God? At the moment, God's presence is in here. I'm sure you can all feel it from the back to the front. There's nothing really spectacular happening. But what happens in a meeting, God comes in waves. And all of a sudden, everything's quiet. And all of a sudden, the wave comes. Someone starts cackling their head off like a hyena. And then that anointing will go from them and it'll hit 3 or 4 other people. Many times I've had a word of knowledge and called someone out for some condition. And as I've laid my hand on their head, I've seen the anointing go into them, then zap into 3 or 4 different people. And I say, well, 3 or 4 people got the same healing. Where are you? Sure enough, they'll come out, and they were healed just from, it just took one to trigger it off. And it's fascinating. Anyway, we're teaching on the offering. It's got nothing to do with anything. All right. We're going to teach on the offering now. Yes. All right, Philippians chapter 4. And you'll be pleased to know I only take a few minutes with my offering teachings because I haven't got the anointing like some of these guys. And I mean that. Some of them can go on all night with the offering and they still get a great offering. You know, usually when I hear someone give a long teaching offering, the money I was going to give, I put it back in my pocket. I think, well, you shut up. I was already going to. But I don't do that with Roy, of course. No, I don't. He's got an anointing on his life to do it. You know why? Because he lives it. And you might say, well, don't you live it? Yeah. But I was trained under a quick anointer. Seriously, I was. My pastor used to say to me, Clark Taylor, he talks like this, well, Steve, old Australian cowboy he was before he was a Christian, you've got to learn a bit of a fast anointing. That's who Roy's preaching for in Australia. And you've got to learn to preach in a fast anointing. And if you're listening to me, Clark, how are you, sir? Very good to see you. That's how he talks. You've got to learn to do things fast, Steve. People are out there, they've got to get up at 5 in the morning to go to work. He says, all right for you, you can sleep in till 12. I've still got to get up. You've got to think of people. That's how he used to talk. So when you're training with that sort of ministry, I like to zap through it. I've actually gotten a lot longer as time's going on, but it's okay. You'll be out of here by midnight. No, you'll be out of here before midnight. If I want you to come back tomorrow night, you know, give you something to come back to instead of all walking in here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14, for the last time. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving, stingy bunches, and receiving, except you only. Interesting, matter of giving and receiving, you know, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid or sent me money or gifts again and again when I was in need. Now, this is Paul's heart. He says, not that I was looking for a gift from you, but what I was looking for, what may be credited to your account. Now, I began to meditate on this. I thought, wow, that's amazing. That every time you give a gift into your local church, every time you give a gift into a ministry like tonight, then if I'm just after your money, it cuts short the blessing of God on me and you. But if my heart motive is pure and it's what's going to be, my heart is, it's what's going to be credited to your account. Did you know that God, in the Spirit, we all have a spiritual bank account? This is what it's saying here. I'm not making it up. Read it yourself. He's not talking about the Bank of America or whatever other. But he's talking about spiritual bank account. That when you give aid, when you help ministries out, when you give with a heart of giving into the kingdom of God, it adds to your account. So in your time of need, you got money to draw from. Because if your heavenly bank account is filling up, somehow it works its way into your natural bank account. These are spiritual truths, friends. We don't live in this world. I don't give a hoot whether America goes right into total recession. It will not affect the church in its economy. It will not. And some of you business people, where the economy is affecting your business, it's only because you've let it. Get the spirit of the world out of it. Do a bit of fasting and prayer and command success and prosperity. And make sure you're giving right. And I'm telling you, your businesses will succeed. And if it doesn't, this word is not true. That's why God says, test me in these things that I won't open up the windows of heaven. Guaranteed. New Testament says you're guaranteed 30, 60, 100 fold if you mix it with faith and give with cheerfulness. Not 30, 60, 100%, but 30, 60, 100 fold. That is amazing. I've never quite worked that out mathematically. If you give 200, I think that 30 fold of that is somewhere around 20 grand. Maybe there's mathematicians who can work that out properly, but it's a lot of money. I say, what is it? Is it about money? Oh, come on. Of course it is. When it comes to giving, you know, people say, you know, shouldn't talk about money. Well, why the heck not? Half, three quarters of the world are in debt to it and haven't got it. Yet we all tighten up. Here he goes again, another preacher preaching on money. Why else do you take up an offering? He's just trying to get money out of us. Of course I am. But I'm not trying to get money out of you just to line my pocket. And if you think that, don't give a cent tonight. I mean it. But my heart, because I have to challenge my heart and pray this every day, keep my motives pure, God. I'm really knowing that if you give to our ministry, or to any ministry, but it's me tonight, our ministry, you give to our ministry, it will. I am looking, my heart is what will be credited to your account. Because I've proven this stuff over 28 years in full-time ministry, and it does not fail. And so it's not a matter of whether you give a huge offering tonight or a small one. It's a matter of just asking the Lord, what do you want me to give? Now, very often the Lord will stretch us, but he doesn't. You don't often hear a voice, but the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, know my voice. So he'll either speak to you through an impression, or you'll just get this strong feeling, give this much, give this much. Then no one, then none of you then can say you were manipulated because you heard the Lord speak to you. But you give by faith in that sort of atmosphere in your heart, I'm telling you, your spiritual account goes up. Now, I'm nearly finished here. It says, not that I'm looking for what may be credited, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Aphroditus the gifts you sent. Paul was a traveling ministry. Now, remember, a lot of times he was a tent maker, and he provided his own income through that. And he didn't take gifts from the church for a while. It tells you that in 1 Corinthians 8. But then a few chapters later, he says, maybe I've done the wrong thing by not taking gifts from you. Because he noticed if he wasn't receiving people's gift because he didn't need it, the offering level dropped right down. So he knew that he was preaching a biblical principle but wasn't applying it to his own life. So he soon changed and started receiving gifts. This is obviously when he was doing it. Now listen to this. It says that when you give gifts, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. God knows that for giving to ministries, for you to give to our ministry tonight, for most of you, if not all of you, it'll be a sacrifice. But when you do it by faith, in the Spirit, your offering goes up to God as a sweet-smelling offering, a sweet-smelling fragrance. If you haven't got your Bibles tonight, please go home and check it out. I'm not reading and misinterpreting this. I'm just expounding what I'm reading here. Your offerings are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So God knows it's going to hurt. He knows it's a sacrifice. But when we do it by faith, friends, it goes up to him and he looks after you. And then the very next verse says, and my God, why does he say and my God? In other words, you do these things, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We often walk around quoting that. God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He won't if you're not a giver. Because you've got to take the whole thing in context. You can't just quote something. You've got to look at the verses above, the verses after, and see whether it is a theme of that throughout the word of God. You've got to, and then you know then. So for you to say, for you to be a giver into your local church, for you to be a giver into ministries, into our ministry tonight, what will happen is it's a sweet-smelling savour to God or fragrant offering, but then it causes God to meet your needs. You look after somebody else's needs. He says here, he'll look after your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. I just wonder if that's why some Christians struggle with money. Because they're not givers. I know ministers around the world and I sit with them. And I am amazed how they don't give. Some ministers don't even tithe. I say, why? And I said, no wonder your churches are in debt and you're always complaining people aren't giving. You as the pastor aren't even giving. Well, I can't afford to. And I don't need to. Because they're supposed to give to me. I said, no, they're not. They're giving to God, man. You want this place to be blessed, you've got to put in yourself. How can you preach on something you're not living? I said, God honors faith. And I said, he's not meeting your needs because you're not meeting the needs of other people. My God will supply all your needs when you're meeting other people's needs. This is what we've just been reading in this chapter. And so, friends, keep that all in context. And so, if you're not a giver, start to give. I don't care whether it's $1, $2, or whatever. Start to give, but learn to listen to the voice of God. And I'd like you all just to close your eyes now and just ask the Lord in your own hearts, what do you want us to give tonight, Lord? Now, some of you have been given faithfully, but I go on like this because, you know, nearly half of you, as if, you know, you're not from this church tonight. So some of your faces I recognize. There's quite a number of people here tonight. I don't know if it's your first time or you came when Roy was here, but I don't recall seeing your faces. So, and forgive me if you have been. But, and so you need to realize this. That there will be same faithful people giving, but there's lots of new people who haven't given tonight. Just ask the Lord, what do you want me to give tonight? Simple as that. If he says nothing, well, he might not want you to give anything, or you're not really open to him, one of the two. Just be led by him. And some people say, well, I really can't hear him. Well, what did you purpose in your heart to give before you came tonight? Some people already planned to give $10 or $20 or $5 or $50. Yeah, well, you just give that. Because God says, you've already purposed in your heart what to give. I'll honor that. It's as simple as that. And that way we become the priesthood of believers. He knows our needs. He knows our ministry's needs. And he knows your needs. So we all be one happy, chappy family if we just obey God. Anyway, thank you, ushers, or whatever you call yourselves here, deacons, head ronchos, chiefs. If you're writing out checks, please write them out to the Vineyard Church. Then they'll just give me one check at the end of it all, whenever the end of it all is. That'd be good. I encourage you. Thank you. Bless you as you receive that offering.
Jesus. Oh, glorious, creating us your temple, cold as living stones, where you're enthroned. From death and power, so ride upon our worship, rise upon our praise, and let the hand that sought you raise clothe us with your glory. As is your presence now fills this place. Oh, the glory of your presence.
Can you feel the presence of God in here? You can't? I thought someone said no, I can't. You better get out here and let me pray for you. Phew, it's so heavy tonight. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing how different people's ministries influence you. I can remember in the 80s, got all of a video. Someone gave me a video on a man called Benny Hinn, who's probably the world's greatest evangelist today, healing evangelist. And in those days, he was pretty good too, but I'd never heard of him. And I remember I watched him and the way he worships God. I didn't particularly like his hairstyle in those days. It was like a huge mop. Lift the cheddar, lift the cheddar. You know, and stuff. He went, unusual mannerisms. But man, he touched God in praise and worship. Captivated my spirit. And I started watching him actually when I was going through a hard time. I was backslidden. I'd been in ministry for several years and I had enough of church life. Because I let hurts get in my spirit. And God was trying to get me back, obviously. Someone gave me these tapes of him. And I'm telling you, I began to watch them. Then I got a hold of a lot of different videotapes because I don't think they had DVDs in those days. They might have done, but VHS was more popular. I put all these miracles and his worship onto one big video, which is about 5 or 6 hours. And I just used to watch that. And I remember going on a very long fast, a 40-day fast actually, and just watching it every day. Then for some reason, God would just touch my spirit in the middle of him praying for somebody. And I'd rewind it, Advantage of Videos. And I'd watch it again and rewind it and watch it again and speak in tongues and rewind it. Sometimes I'd do it 20, 30 times. Then I move on to the next miracle. A few miracles would go by and they're all good, but didn't particularly grab my spirit. Then he used to say things like, I feel the anointing like electricity on my hand, who wants it? And it'd captivate my spirit. And I'd watch it and watch it and rewind it and watch it and rewind it and watch it while I was doing this long fast. But I'll tell you something, when God changed my life and crusades started coming in, because in this time period of my life came right with God, lo and behold, I start to preach and I get this numbness in my right hand. Incredible numbness and electrical currents going through it. And I'd say, who wants it? Sometimes I'd just tell people to stand and wham, and I'd see hundreds or in big crusades, thousands just going down. I had an impartation from his ministry. I've never met the man. Hope to one day. For a long time there, they used to call me the Benny Hinn of Australia, and I'm nowhere near in his caliber. But, you know, they used to call me that because of the worship that we used to produce. People used to say, it's just like being in a Benny Hinn crusade. And so when I worship, I'm probably more leaning towards that style because God used that man to influence my life so much. Then another one who became a friend of mine was Rodney Howard Brown. So I'm a mixture of a few different ministries that adds on to what I've got in my own heart. And that's what happens. We're influenced by people. We're influenced by people. But I notice when it comes to worship, when I start to get into that glory realm, I just think, whew. And you know, I can't get it on other songs. You probably can. You might be able to get it on a Delirious song or some other song. You know, and that's great. We need variety in the body of Christ. But for me personally, those songs really, I begin to soar like an eagle and it brings me into that realm very quickly. To the point I'm on the piano thinking, how much longer do I take this, God? I've got this word on my heart people need to be ministered to. Sometimes I don't even worry about preaching. I just keep going. And the miraculous breaks out anyway. But anyway, just giving you a short interval just to let you know how it works through me. It just might spark something off in you, you know, how God wants to use you. But it's a good thing. Anyway, Matthew 21, I want to talk about the fire of God tonight. It's going to hit in here. The atmosphere is going to change. I don't know, next 10 minutes, it's going to change to a rip-roaring, not because of being hyped up, but something's going to happen. I can feel it. And I love these sort of meetings where, you know, there's quiet times, there's a glory time. You can feel the presence of God, but nothing much is happening. Then all of a sudden, something starts to stir. It's called the Holy Ghost. And he'll do that tonight. Matthew 21, verse 12. It says, and Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. Interesting, it says he went into the temple area. He didn't actually go into what they call the sanctuary or the main temple, but in the temple area. There's people who are buying and selling, and he drove them out. And if you put the other Gospels accounts that mention the same story, he actually made a whip and began to whip them out. But there's a reason why Jesus did this. He just wasn't in a bad mood, or he wasn't just trying to think, oh, these people don't know what they're doing, so I'm going to... No, he wasn't like that. But it says he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. Why? Because it is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. What he was really saying to these people was his main motivation when he came into that temple area and he saw them buying. They were doing marketing things. They were doing selling. In others, they were making money. They were merchandising. They were engaging in business in a place that was supposed to be a house of prayer to the nations. And that's what got up Jesus' nose. The fact that they should have known better. They should have known the scriptures. And because he was God and because he was the Son of God, he came walking in there, and in actual John's account, in around about John chapter 2, it actually says there that the zeal for thy house has consumed me. That's why he whipped all the people out and got rid of all their money. He says, this is not a place of merchandise. It's not a place where you buy and sell. It's not a place of business. Go down the street and do that. This is a place that is a house of prayer to the nations. In other words, what he was saying is, this is a house of worship. It's a house of prosperity. It's a house of healing. It's a house of salvation. It's a house where the presence of God comes in. It's not a house where you're supposed to be coming just to make money and just to do worldly things. It's a house where people's lives get changed to the nations. So he was setting a prerequisite of what the house of God should be like, because the Bible tells us very clearly that we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We're a holy habitation. And when we come together, a corporate anointing is released. We're the house of God together, but individually, we're the temples of the Holy Ghost. And together, we form the temple of God. And a church is not supposed to be a place of merchandise. It doesn't mean you can't sell products as Christian products and things like that. But get what I'm saying. It's not a place of business. It's not a place that's supposed to be watered down to some seeker-friendly junk. It's not a place where men of God compromise and just to keep people happy. What happens when persecution breaks out? And what happens when real revival comes out? I'm telling you, a lot of these mega churches will halve just like that. Not because the men of God aren't real men of God. It's because they're compromised by not allowing the Holy Spirit to come into the place. Now you can see why I don't get invited to some of those churches. I got a friend in Australia who's got a church of a few thousand, which for Australia is a very big church. For any place, it's a big church. And his ladies went on a women's camp thing, a retreat. And they came back and they were under a Holy Ghost ministry. He didn't realize that. He just thought they had a nice ladies' camp. So on the Sunday night meeting, where there's thousands of people sitting there, and I'm in one of the congregation, the women come up, begin to testify, and the first woman gets up there and says, the new wine of God fell, and it was powerful. Then as she began to say that, all the ladies that were touched at that camp, at the front, about 10 of them began to shake, began to fall under the power of God. And you could see the joy of God starting to break out in the congregation. Those who were open to it began to laugh. And the pastor grabbed the mic and said, thank you very much, but let's get this church back in order, please. We're not into that. Cut the Holy Spirit just like that. And I thought, you idiot. I don't understand it, but men of God do that. Who are we to tell the Holy Ghost what he can and can't do? Yet that same man of God, in meetings when Rodney Howard Brown was in Australia in the mid-90s, was one of the ones so drunk he was crawling back to his seat on the front row, laughing uncontrollably. It hit him. For some reason, they denied it. And they went, and I'm telling you, most guys are in seeker-friendly churches, not all of them, but most guys I know, which is a fairly big circle, but it's not the full circle in ministry, most guys I know who have now got seeker-friendly churches were all hit by the power of God and the joy of the Lord in the 90s. And they've gone away from it and even deny it's just emotionalism. And so they don't want that in the church. They build seeker-friendly. And unfortunately, they're the fastest-growing churches in the world. It doesn't mean anything. Mormons grow fast too. Islam is the fastest-growing religion in the world. I mean, that doesn't mean nothing. Rodney Howard Brown, when I was in his office a year or two ago, just having time with him, he said to me, Steve, this church of mine, he's got a good church, 2,000 or 3,000 people, but he said, I could be 10,000 if I'd compromise, if I dropped the joy of God out, and if I just built in the Holy Ghost, but a bit seeker friendly. He said, I refuse to compromise. It's not about a big church. But he says, all of my people, they know how to touch God. And he says, all of my people are givers. And all of, and he's got a great church there and a great worldwide ministry. But he was saying it's so tempting that, you know, when you've got to go for revival, you're going for that realm all the time. It's easy just to step back and rely on programs and rely on seeker friendly. There's nothing wrong with being friendly, friends. If we're truly in the Holy Ghost, we're the friendliest people going. But to cut out the Holy Ghost, tell me, friends, what right have we got to cut out the Holy Ghost? People say, well, this is just the river move. And this is just, look, it should be the Word of God move. Because the Bible says, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. And I realize if an apostle is leading a church, it's going to be a church planting, sending to the nations, because that's his heart. If a prophet leads a church, it's going to be preparing the church for future and step by step how to get there. If an evangelist leads the church, it's all rah, 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 souls are getting saved, sick bodies getting healed every week. But there's usually a huge back door because people need that, but they need a little bit more than that. If a pastor's leading the church, you've got a lovey-dovey church, but everything's too protective. They're too scared to let go in case their people get hurt. If a teacher leads the church, the people are just, if that's all they're exposed to, they're just theological fatheads who need low-calorie shampoo because they've got so much knowledge in their brain, you know. But you put all those giftings working together, you've got one church that grows up. So we all need each other. But just because you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, we should all still be open to the Holy Ghost. We're in the priesthood of all believers, we should all be open to the Holy Ghost. And God has to send along revivals that everybody thinks abnormal, but really God's saying, this is the norm, this is what the church should be. It's funny. But anyway, my house shall be called a house of prayer to the nations, but you've made it a den of robbers. In the Good News Bible, in book of John chapter 2's account, it says, the devotion for my Father's house burns in me like a fire. That's why he kicked those people out. He loved the people, but he couldn't stand what they were doing because it was supposed to be a house of prayer and worship to the nations. And God's heart has not changed. This is New Testament he wrote this in. This was Jesus himself. And his heart for the church 2,500 years later, nearly 2,500, has not changed. He wants his house to be a house of prayer and worship and a big hospital so people can be restored and healed and trained and equipped to go out there and win the lost for Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all nations. It's never changed. Never. So where's it all gone wrong? We've taken it into our control. Because it's a sacrifice to go for revival, because revival is just simply bringing people back to their first love in Jesus. It's challenging people. It's saying to people, you're missing the mark. You got sin in your life. You need to put it right. People don't like to be challenged. Well, actually, when the Holy Ghost challenges them, of course they do. I like to be challenged in the Holy Ghost. I want my life to change, don't you? If God exposes something in me, hopefully not publicly, but he just exposes something in my own heart, I sure want to get rid of it because I want to be like Jesus. And so do you. So what's the big deal? Just yield to him. What about all this joy? Well, we're supposed to go around and be miserable. I don't believe joy is for the church. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. Well, go shoot yourself. Oh, I shouldn't say that nowadays, but spiritually shoot yourself. Miserable. I hate being around people like that. So does God. What do you mean? Children of Israel, when Moses, God raised up Moses to deliver them, brings them out of Egypt after a season when Pharaoh finally softened his heart after a few tests from God and a few miracles he had to see and a few heartaches. And most Bible scholars say it was a 12 to 21 day walk. So let's say 15 day walk. We'd be pretty right. From the children of Israel, 3 million of them, from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan was a 3 week at the most walk for 3 million of them. Yet it took them wandering around in the desert 40 years. Why did God do that? Because of their sin of unbelief, their negativity. He didn't say because of their adultery or their divorces or anything else. 3 million people, I'm sure that was going on or had gone on. But that wasn't the biggest problem. It was their sin of negativity and bad confession. He said, I've had enough of you. I'm not taking you into the land of promise. I'm going to let your children grow up, and they're the ones that are going to take that. You're going to all die off. But in his gracious heart, he still provides for them, and they still moan about that. How would you be having manna coming down from heaven and quail coming down from heaven, enough to feed 3 million people, and they still whinge and carry on? They brought enough gold out and silver from the land of Egypt, you know, and then what do? They make a golden calf out of it. Unbelievable. But you see, they're no different to us, the church today. We get delivered from the land of Egypt, which is the land of the flesh. We get delivered from our sins and we come into his marvelous light. And the thing that will stop us from coming into all that God's got for us is negativity. Oh, I thought you would have said adultery or fornication. Yeah, they're serious. But more serious than that to me. People worried about, oh, we got people in our church who smoke. How are they? Well, they're very positive people. Give me a church full of smokers who are positive than a church full of squeaky clean people who are religious bigots who whinge and complain all the time. Because God can deal with a smoker, but to deal with a negative spirit takes a long time. You know, that's just the way it is. So if you're a whinger and if you're a complainer, stop. Simple. Repent right now before God. So I'm going to change. Simple as that. What's the big deal? So you see, the devotion for my Father's house, why is it so important we listen to this sort of stuff? I'll tell you why, friends. It says because the very next verse in verse 14, when God says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making a den full of robbers. It says, one translation says, then the blind and the lame. NIV says, the blind and the lame. But it doesn't really matter. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. Why was it so important for Jesus to clean out the temple? To put it right so that the blind and the lame, so that signs and wonders could take place in the house of God again. When are signs and wonders going to take place in the house of God worldwide again? When the church allows the Holy Spirit to clean it out and get clean hearts and get pure hearts, and where everybody is just maybe not sinless but sinning a lot less, and then the miracles will start and it'll just be a common thing for the blind, the lame, the sick, the diseased to be healed. Why is there lack of signs and wonders in the body of Christ? Because there's a lot of sin in the church. That's it. Oh, no. It's going to be one of those meetings. God's told me to speak on this tonight. He's going to deal with sin in your life. And, you know, let's cut out the spiritual words. What is sin? Sin in the Bible means to miss the mark. And it gives the example in the Greek of a man with a bow and arrow. He pulls that bow back, that string back with the arrow in it, and he's aiming at a target, and he's trying to get bullseye. And he lets that arrow go, pew, and it misses the mark, misses the bullseye. That's all sin is. You're missing the mark. You're missing the bullseye of what the plan that God's got for your life. Because you're letting hindrances and you're letting things entangle you and you're missing the mark. That's all that sin means. What does repentance mean? I don't even know if they used the word repent in those days. It's just the Greek to English. But the word repentance means to change the way you think. So to repent of sin simply means I'm going to change the way I'm thinking. I'm going to let the God renew my mind through his word, and I'm not going to miss the mark anymore. I'm going to let Christ be the center of my life. And if I do happen to miss the mark, I'm going to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I'll repent straight away and get cleansed with the blood. So I don't believe you can ever become sinless like Jesus in this life, but I reckon we can sin a lot less. Maybe some can reach perfection in this life. I don't know. We can certainly live in victory, but I know we can come to sin a lot less. What about the sin of of bickering and backbiting? What about all those things? I'm telling you, missing the mark can keep the miracles out of the church. And God can get people healed through the gifts and the presence of God and in revival meetings because there's a canopy of his presence just comes. But I'm telling you something, friends, people can miss the mark in God. They really can. And it can stop the flow of God. So meetings like this, there will be a meeting every now and again where God calls his people to change the way they think. Because sometimes we think we're all right until the Holy Ghost puts his finger on it. Just look quickly at John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred.'" If you read the other gospel, it mentions this story. An angel of the Lord used to come at certain times during the day and stir up the water. And whoever jumped in first got healed. If 10 people jumped in, it was the first one that touched that water that got healed. The rest weren't. So all these people are waiting around anticipating. But he was an invalid for 38 years. He had no one to help him in. So some other blighter always jumped in before him. Strange how God works at times. That's how people got healed in those days, supernaturally by God. But Jesus, the Son of God, happens to be there that day. And he says, "Oh, so do you want to get well?" I mean, the invalid could have said, "Haven't you got any brains there, sir? Can't you see I'm an invalid and I'm waiting for the stirring of the water, but no one's willing to help me? You're asking me, who's been here night and day for months, do I want to get well? Of course I do. Are you stupid or something?" Which is what we can do. It's a normal human reaction. But this guy didn't. I reckon he had a bit of an idea that this was Jesus, the Son of God. "So I've no one to help me when the pool is stirred." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. But the day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "Jump on your head." No, he didn't. He replied, "Up your nose with a rubber." No, he didn't. He said, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and go home.'" So deal with him. So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? It's the Sabbath." What a bunch of religious bigots, hey? Miracle happens. A man who's an invalid, all shriveled up, all bowled over. God instantly releases this man, and all they're worried about is he's carrying his mat on the Sabbath. The law forbids it. No different to Pentecost today, really. Oh, you thought I was going to say Church of England or Catholic. You know, the biggest religious bigots I find, who are lovely people, but lovely religious bigots, are the Pentecostals, who think they've got it all together, who think they're all about the gifts of the Spirit. They turn down their noses, they look up their noses, or they turn down, I should say, people who are less fortunate than them. They've got it all patterned out. Our revival's going to break out. And if it breaks out with joy, and if it breaks out with things that they don't like, yeah, this is not God. This is the enemy. People say, "What are you, Steve? Are you a Pentecostal?" Well, I am, but I don't call myself that anymore. I'm just a person who believes what this says. I'm just a follower of Christ. If he tells me to get people filled with the Holy Ghost, I will. If he tells me I can be filled with the Holy Ghost, I will. If he tells me I can be prosperous if I follow certain guidelines, then I'll endeavor to live it and teach that to other people. If he tells me I can get the healed, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, I believe it. If he tells me to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to get drunk on the new wine, then I'll do that. Call it what you like. I'm sick of man-made words. Charismatic or Pentecostal or Calathumpian, you know, who cares? You know, I'm just a Bible believer who happens to believe what Jesus says. And that's it. Who's with me? Yeah. So here's this man. He gets up and walks. And the religious people come out. In verse 12, "So they asked him, 'Who was this fellow who told you to pick up your mat?' And the man was healed and no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd." Sorry, I apologize. I said he must have known who it was. He didn't. "For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd." Now, this is interesting. Maybe a few hours later, it just says here, "Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well again.'" Because Jesus wanted to get something through to this man. Listen to what he says. "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Now, was Jesus trying to condemn this man and water down his miracle? No. When he ministered to this man, he knew in his spirit this man had a sin problem. He was missing the mark in an area of his life. Jesus is not into exposing people's sins, making them feel bad publicly. He'll do that for when you've pushed him so far into a corner just to get you out of hell. He'll do that. But generally speaking, God's a very gracious and merciful God. He wants you to be convicted by His Spirit and deal with it in your own heart. And I'm telling you, this guy, he obviously, Jesus said to him, don't sin anymore. He's saying, you've had this sin problem in your life. Now you've got to stop that sin problem, whatever it is. What possible sin could an invalid man have? Who knows? We're not even meant to try and guess. He had a sin problem, and Jesus said to him, you've got to stop committing that sin, or something worse may happen to you. Now, I'm telling you, friends, that the thing that can stop a revival is sin. Missing the mark of unbelief, bad attitudes. Things happening in a meeting and we're judging it. Instead of saying, well, I'm not sure about that, Lord, but let me be a fruit inspector. I won't judge the method. If it's bearing good fruit in people's lives, well, I don't care if they spin around on the lights. It's a silly example, but if they're bearing fruit and becoming more like Jesus, who cares? That's what we've got to be. Doesn't mean we accept everything and we're gullible without meaning to question it, but you can question it without a judgmental heart, without a critical heart. It might be genuine, really sincerely wanting to know. Why do those things happen? I'm telling you, friends, a lot of times from the Word of God, the move of God stops. Lakeland, a perfect example. The leader of that revival, as great a man of God as he is, not was, as he is. God will raise him up again, don't you worry. But a few areas in his life he hadn't had dealt with, and it stopped the whole revival. It's the only revival in history that touched the world, like this revival through media. 23 confirmed raised from the dead. Most of them, it was through somebody watching it on webcam or television. Amazing. And now it came no more. I'm convinced that's why I prophesied over Roy that that Lakeland spirit, that Lakeland revival spirit is now upon him. And as he grows in it, he's going to be packing out stadiums everywhere around the world. I just know it. It's on him. We need to pray for Roy and Melody. They're only a young couple, 32, whatever. That's a big responsibility, but they're the Joshuas. God's putting his mantles on young men today, but we need to pray for them that God keeps their marriage strong and keeps them pure, which it is at the moment. Everything's going great, but we need to pray for them because the devil's pretty cunning. They'll be a target. He's probably one of the most well-known revivalists, apart from Rodney Howard Brown, in this world right now, just from the Lakeland, not just with worship, but with the revivals that they're bringing. And you keep them in prayer. They're good people. Wouldn't it be great if in 10 years' time, Roy is packing out stadiums and has been for years, most phenomenal healings. And not only that, he's training up hundreds of others with that same mantle. And his marriage is still strong and his kids are serving God. And he's protecting himself. That's what we need, friends. It's unusual for young men to really make it with that sort of mantle. But there's a lot around the world that are doing it now. Because they look at their spiritual dads or people who are spiritual fathers in the faith and they see their slip-ups and think, we're not going down that same road, boy. We ain't going that way. It is possible. And so we've got not... And trouble is, when revivals break out like that, then the key leader falls. We think, oh, what's the point of it all? Because it's in our psyche, the devil puts it in. Well, why come along to this revival? Something will happen to one of the preachers. Then it'll all be in reproach again. We can't think that way, friends. If more prayer was taken, instead of getting caught up with a man or woman's mantle, we put more prayer in for them. God, you stay off there. Keep the devil away from their marriage. Keep this prayer. Listen, let me open up my heart. I'm not bragging. I am absolutely telling you the truth. In 1985, I had the fastest, not the biggest, it would have been if I'd have kept going. I had the fastest growing church in the Pentecostal movement in Australia. Put me on the map as... God, invitations that would come in, and I could only be in my church 2 weeks of the month because of all the invitations that I felt to take. And so I was only about, I don't know what I was, 26, 27, very young. Big responsibility for a young man to have a church just started in a hall by putting an ad in the paper with 16 showing up in the first meeting, and less than a year later, 500 people there, putting on seminars with the world top speakers who would, I don't have to give them a month's notice, they'd come and preach in my church because they knew the favor of God was on the place. Then I lost, I was not covering up, but I had a shocking marriage, and it's going on webcam, so I just cover details. But I had a wife who had mental problems, and seriously, and I probably wasn't too far behind her. No, but you know, and the whole marriage fell apart. Just fell apart. And I couldn't believe it. One minute I'm pastoring this huge church with a great reputation, with major men of God ringing me up saying, "We're so proud of you, Steve, a young man who's paving the way for our movement and paving," because I was in this big movement, "and paving the way for this, the integrity you've got in your life." And I did have integrity. But one week I'm pastoring this huge church. 2 weeks later, I'm drunk, challenging the biggest guys coming out of the pub for a fight. Just went back to my martial arts and all that sort of stuff that I was very good at. And unbelievable, because I let hurt come in. I couldn't, because I had friends ringing me up and saying, "Steve, we had you booked in our church, but we've heard, you know, that you've had to leave your wife. We feel for you, but it's not good for our ministries to associate with you at the moment." I wasn't living a backslidden life. I still had purity. But my marriage has failed. And these guys who I thought would back me, who I'd eaten pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning after major crusades and laughing and joking, they're my friends. Suddenly they didn't want to know me. And something came into my heart. I won't say what. It's a swear word. I can't say that. But I just thought, get lost. I've had enough of all you people. And I just said, "God, I love you with all my heart, but I hate your church." And then in my backslidden state, you're not going to believe this, I went on a 40-day fast. And I said, "God, raise me up again in power. And I'm going to plant a church across the road from the denomination I'm in, and I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to pick out where they're all at, hundreds or more in Australia. I'm going to plant a church across the road and wipe them all out." How many of you know God didn't honor that? I was hurting. Yet I still sought God 3 hours a day. Work that out. I was a hurting man. I was a wild. Pastors used to speak against me. I'd be up in their office. "You better apologize now. It's your history." They used to have their black belts come and surround them, and I'd hurt them. And I was stupid, really. Felt good at the time, though. It's good illustrations. But really, it's just showing what a hurting man I was. It took God a while to get me back. Now, I'm not like that now. This is last week. This is not now. This is in the late 80s, 80s, 88, something like that. That's why I've got a lot of understanding for different types of people. I don't get illusioned about much stuff in our days. I've got no disillusions. I've got no illusions to be disillusioned. But I'm telling you something, friends, that God is a great God, and he's wanting purity in his church. Because when I started to come right with God again, first thing you're being able to deal with is with his attitudes. I said, "You know, it's not a great sin in your life, Steve. You're just missing the mark with your attitudes. Get your attitudes right and watch what I'll do for you." And there's still some didn't like me because I was divorced and remarried and all this sort of stuff. And I still believe fully that a marriage is for life. That's it. But it's not the unpardonable sin, friends. You can still achieve whatever God's got for you. There's only one unforgivable sin, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Attributing the works of Christ to the devil. No, it isn't. There's only one sin that God will not forgive, and that is rejection as Christ as Savior. So people come to me and say, "Oh, I think I've committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit." Have you denied Christ as your Savior? No. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Yes. You haven't committed blasphemy. Yeah. There's only one sin God won't forgive. There's only one person God won't let into heaven. That's someone who rejects Christ as Savior. Simple. So we need to understand these things, and we've got to learn to deal with a sin issue. You see, that's why David, after he committed, had sex with Bathsheba, when he's supposed to be out at war, but he decided to have the night off at home. He's out on his roof and sees this beautiful woman bathing in the house next door and calls for her, gets her pregnant. But it was his best friend's, one of his most loyal friends, best friend's wife. And so then she comes to him a little while later and says, "Hey, I'm pregnant, David." He goes, "Oh, no." So he writes a letter and says, "Look, they're out to battle now." And first of all, he tried to get his friend to come and sleep with his wife so it'd make it look like he got her pregnant. He says, no, all my friends, because we're in war, are living out in the tents. I can't come to the comforts of my wife and home. He said, "Oh, no." So then he wrote a letter to the general and said, "Listen, when you're out at battle, I want you to put my friend out in the front line, and you will withdraw. So he's an open target for the enemy. In fact, he, want a better word, he murdered him. And he thought he got away with it for a year until the prophet Nathan, I think it was, came to him. Gave him a little illustration, and he got angry at this person, and he says, "You're the man." But David didn't blame the people. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He says, "Yes, Lord." And that's where he says in Psalms, "Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." No wonder he was a man. You know when God called him a man after his own heart? It was after that. People say, "Oh, David lost his kingdom after that." No, he didn't. His kingdom got greater. Why? Because of the sin? No, because of his repentant heart. That's all God's after, friend. Now, there's many of you in here. You haven't committed adultery. You may have in your heart, but you haven't committed adultery. But there are people here who are struggling with sin, the sin of bad attitudes, the sin of unbelief, the sin of not believing that God can really bring you through and help you with your problems. Did you know that is simply missing the mark? Now, in a minute from now, I'm going to make an appeal to you. And I want us to stand and we'll worship God just for a little while longer. And I want people to come out the front here where, because I can feel the spirit of conviction in here now, where God is convicting you that it's time you got things right with your life. Some of you, it's big things. Some of you, it's small things. It makes no difference. It's called missing the mark. Did you know witchcraft in Galatians is in exactly the same verse as adultery and lying and slandering? We categorize sin. But lying, adultery is no bigger sin than lying or slandering. I said, "Well, I don't do anything like that." Well, you only know what you do when no one else is around. You only know what you watch on the internet. You only know what you watch on TV. You only know the things that you're into, the things that you say, things you do. You're the one that knows if you scam the taxes or whatever else. Listen, I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, it's called missing the mark. Now, you can all relax because I'm not going to expose anybody's sins. I used to when I was younger because that's the way I thought you operated the prophetic gift. But what I want you to do is, God, there's a time of repentance here, a time of changing the way you think. And it's from attitudes to other things. It makes no difference. Nobody will know whether you're coming out for just for a bad attitude or something big. It's between you and God. But in a few minutes from now, I want you to come to the front, and there'll be quite a number of you, and I want you to fill up all this area, and I want you to kneel before God. And I want you to be able to confess your sin of your bad attitude and begin to put it right and ask God to take it away from you and make up your mind that you're going to change the way you think from this night. And you watch the miracles increase in these meetings. You might say, "Yeah, but you might have a whole different crowd on tomorrow night." Doesn't matter. It'll have set something in the spiritual atmosphere. So, well, my life's right. Well, if it's right, you've got no problem. You just sit there. But what I want you to do when there's worship going on is to be able to speak out. Don't think it, but speak out your sin, the way you've been missing the mark, loud enough for yourself to hear, not the person standing next to you, because it's a thing between you and God. But you can't just sit there and say, "Well, in your mind, you've got to confess it out with your mouth. Lord, this is the attitude I've had. This is the problem I've been facing. This is what I've been doing." It could go from anything from tension between you and your wife if you're married. It could be friends. It could be anything. You know, because the Holy Ghost is highlighting it now. I don't know, and I don't need to know. It's between you and God, and neither does anybody else need to know. But I'm telling you, the atmosphere will change. It's a great atmosphere now, but it'll thicken into a greater glory with God. It really will. So would you all just please stand for a moment? Would you just close your eyes and lift your hands to Jesus? Father, I've just given what you said on my heart. I hope I did it the right way, Jesus. But I do sense your conviction. And it's the kindness of God, it's the goodness of God that leads people to change the way they think. It leads people to repentance. And so, Father, this is your kindness upon us. You're not going to expose anybody here, God. You're going to make them feel like they're horrible people. No, you're wanting them to give up these things, Lord Jesus Christ, because you've got a great, great plan for their lives. You've got a great future for them, God. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you're going to do a great work in them for the glory of God. As your hands are lifted, listen to this in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. This is what God's wanting us to do tonight. Throw off everything that's hindering you and the sin, the way where you're missing the mark that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, from men who are missing the mark, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The devil will throw things at you all the time to make you miss the mark. And if you're missing the mark, the good news is that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Now I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's here, and you need to forget about the person standing next to you. And if you know you've got things in your heart that God's dealing with, and it'll be a few of you, I'm telling you. I don't say that to manipulate. I can just feel it in my spirit. I want people who need to put things right with God right now. You just need to come and kneel at the front. Come now and come quickly. This is all part of revival, friends. Just come. Come in Jesus' mighty name. Don't let pride hold you back. Don't let nothing hold you back. Come on. Come on. Just come. Fill up this altar call and just begin to worship God. Begin to cry out to him, because that's what it's all about. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. If that conviction is not on you, just pray for your brothers and sisters who are coming. It's no use repeating myself. It's very clear. This is a good response. As I sing, I want you folk at the front, that whatever you've come to the front for, I want you to say it loud enough, confess it out to God, and ask him to cleanse you. Just loud enough for yourselves to hear, not the person standing next to you. And I'm telling you, you will feel the cleansing blood of Jesus. Some of you will begin to weep. Some of you will begin to be so grateful to God for what he's doing. Just begin to cry out to him right now. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. Come on, you got to get those mouths moving, friends. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, ooh, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, oh God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Ooh. Keep getting it out of your system, friends. But the most important thing to do too is to let the blood of Jesus just wash over you. You should only be feeling heavy just for a couple of minutes. Then I wonder, because the kingdom of God is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For those of you who have been putting it right, let his joy, let his righteousness, let his peace begin to flow over you now.
I am covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. What a joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so. He gives to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. You might say, what about you, preacher? I was on my face this afternoon in the church as God was dealing with my heart, and I felt the wonderful cleansing blood of Jesus. You can only give out what you do yourself. Father, let your power come on these wonderful people. Give them that ability to change the way they think. Let the word of God become so important to them, because that is what renews our mind. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Fill them with your fresh fire, because that's what does it, Lord Jesus. 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 Could you put that CD on from Roy, the one they usually play most nights? Thank you. Just give him a couple of minutes to do that. It's just good to be in an atmosphere of worship. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Just let me know when you're going to put it on so I can just stop this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay in the presence of God, friends. This time of the meeting is so, so important. You can't have these things every night, this sort of thing, because it tightens up people after a while. But just every now and again God comes in, because normally God deals with our attitudes and stuff in worship. In a lot of different ways. But sometimes we just need the good old fashioned people coming out, putting themselves right with God. I want you to begin to feel the Lord's embrace right now. Just lift your hands, friends. I've learnt when you make an altar call for repentance, don't let it go on too long, because people start to become self-condemning. The whole idea is to give it up. All you're doing is removing the hindrances and those things that entangle you. Now I want you all to fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. Let us throw off every hindrance. Who are the great cloud of witnesses? The prophets of old, the men and women of God of old, who won the race even before Jesus had died on the cross. And I believe in the portals of heaven. They can see us when we do our acts of faith. And you are doing an act of faith tonight. Why? Because you're throwing off everything that hinders you. I want you all just to look like you're throwing a ball. Could you all look at me? You've already, the sin's dealt with now. Get it, see it like a ball, and just throw it right now. Just throw it. Get away. Get away from me. You might say, that's stupid. No, it's not. It's just a prophetic declaration. We're throwing off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And now we're going to run with perseverance, which means we're going to renew our mind and we're going to sin a lot less in this area. If not, it's completely dealt with tonight. Don't go out condemning yourself. It's dealt with tonight. Now you've got to grow in it. And let us run the race with perseverance. The race that is marked out, you've got a huge race marked out for your friends. Every one of you have got an incredible destiny. It's not me mouthing off, it's the Word of God. Yeah, every one of you. I want you all to repeat after me. I am, in Jesus, a person of great destiny. I will be a history maker in my land, in my nation,
in the nations of the world. I will make my mark on this world for Jesus Christ. And no devil and no hindrance will entangle me. I will keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. In him I will succeed because he has forgiven me. Just praise him. Just thank him. We thank you, Jesus. 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 We bless you, Jesus. Now begin to fill these people with joy. Begin to fill them with your excitement as they're fixing their eyes upon you. Doesn't matter what you've done. We won't have testimonies, but some people, we think, wow, that's horrific. Others would say, well, big deal, it was just an attitude. It's all big deal when the Holy Ghost puts his finger upon it. But that's gone. Jesus already forgave you 2,000 years ago of your past, present, and future sin. The only reason we confess it is helps us. His blood cleanses us so we can get on with the job of seeing Jesus again. That's what it's all about. Well, what's the point of this? Something might happen to me this week. Well, you do it again. Yongyi Cho, who's got the largest church in the world, who's a great man of the Spirit, says that he repents every day of his life. He thinks he's okay until the Holy Ghost begins to speak to him and say, what about that attitude you had? What about that thought you had? What about this? And he's continuing, and he feels like a bag is lifting off him each day. And he says, by now I think I'd be perfect, but every day, from the day before, something new comes up. Well, I didn't even realize it, because we live in a world that's tainting of sin all around us, and sometimes it gets on us, and we need a good dose of the blood of Christ and his glory to get rid of it. It's so simple if we do it Jesus' way. Well, if you confess your sin, you don't have to confess it again. Well, you do if you do it again. Simple. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. It's what the Word of God says. Yeah, but if I'm a true Christian, I shouldn't sin. Yeah, you can find one obscure scripture that says that in 1 John. But 1 John also says, if you say you've got no sin in your life, and he's talking to Christians, then you're a liar. But he says, if you will confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you are cleansed from all unrighteousness right now. Good on you. That takes guts and courage to come out and do stuff like that. Normally you get an altar call this big if it's for the Holy Ghost. But to repent of things you know is just heavy on your life or things you need to get rid of, that takes guts. Would you still mind standing for a minute? You can help me, Dal. I just feel to lay hands on you. Oh, she was out, dude. I'm sorry. If I took you out of the Spirit, then I'm sorry. If I could just have a few helpers, people to normally help. And I'm telling you, I want to make sure you go out of this meeting full of the Holy Ghost. Don't want you going out with the devil attacking your mind saying, oh yeah, did you really give it over? Get rid of those stupid little thoughts. He's an idiot. Toothless old fangy lion ears. He's got brain disease anyway, because we just stand on his head. He's got the most deformed brain skull probably in the world. Jesus. Ooh, the anointing of God is here. Where's my helpers? Thank you. Okay, I'll just start with this group here. She's already out to it. He'll just touch you and fill you with his joy and his glory. What a marvelous God. What an absolutely marvelous God. Thank you for this wonderful man. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let it go right through you. That's the one. That's the one. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There it is. There it is. Touch your heart and just open up and receive. Fresh fire. In mighty name of Jesus. That's all right. He's receiving. Not everybody has to fall down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this lovely lady. You just let it out. He's filling you with joy. Yeah. What is this, a nut house? They go from repenting to joy. That's what it's all about. My house is a house of joy. Well, his house. Oh, take it. Sound like pork. Jesus, just touch it. There it is. Now, let it go through. Yeah, yeah. That's it. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, so skedaddle, isn't it? Sorry about that. I'm over here now. Where's all my helpers? Lift your hands, you beautiful lady. Yes, lift your hands to Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord.
Oh, daddy hit him in the spirit. So are you too worried about falling down? Forget that. Oh.
Why do you talk like that to people? To manipulate them? No, because I've been at this, I was going to say game, it's not a game. I've been at this business for a lot of years. And sometimes people think, oh, do I stand, do I fall? You know, and it's going to, my hand is going into them, coming out. And I feel like an Irish evangelist. I lay hands on him and I go down. So just receive it. Jesus. Now. Sound like you got constipation. Goodness. No, it's not. It's just the way the Holy Ghost comes on some people. All right, we've got the helpers there. Father, thank you for this lovely lady. Touch her, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that new thing you're doing in her life. Don't worry, just lift your hands. Thank you for this lovely lady and the new thing. Thank you that you've totally just freed her up now. That the power of God is all over her. There it is. Take it. I've got a lot of people to pray for, so just respond straight away. It'll help me. Thank you. There it is. Sorry, let's lift your hands. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. As the power of God just upon her. Oh, just take it. Don't worry, just take it. I'm a bit nervous. Oh, you don't have to be nervous. That's the only person. Just take the thing. You can stand up more like, yeah. If you can, just take it. Oh, just open up, don't. Stop praying. Just receive. Let me go into you now in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. She's receiving it. These people here. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that awesome power of God. Open up. Right now, you just let it on ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Run that room.
I just come a bit closer. You'll be right. There's room there.
I can hardly stand there.
Hello, just lift your hand. Forget about everything else as it goes through your body. Oh, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You help me, yeah? From guitarist to helper. Just lift your hands, sir, and as you do, you'll experience the glory. Take it. Sorry, it's still on his toe. Call a tow truck. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this. He's smiling, he got the joke. Father, just touch him. Father, in Jesus' name. There it goes. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this lovely lady. Oh, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Gee, I released that a bit too hard. That's all right. You're more hungry. That's it. Father, touch this hungry heart, Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost just come upon him now. Here we are, just there. That'll do. Lift your hands as you do the prayer of God. That joy just spreading through this place. That joy just spreading through this place. Are you out here or are you just... Might as well pray for you. You're here. Father, touch your Lord Jesus Christ. Let that fire and power of God, it's coming on people's heads again. So I see a glory spout on top of you.
Go into her.
In Jesus' mighty name. Get out of your head, into your heart. So I find that offensive. What do you say that for? You're a beautiful lady. But some people just find it hard to get out of their head. What does that mean? Put your brain in neutral. Maybe you're a brainy person. It's very easy for me. I've got no brains. Just go into your spirit. That's where the power of God is. It's down there. What's the way? You out here for prayer? You might as well just stand there. Hey, that rhymes. You out here for prayer? Well, you might as well stand over there. Here you go. Lift your hands as you do. Oh, she's already down. Let's come a little bit more forward, sir, because I've got a feeling that as you lift your hands, God is just going to zap you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as the Holy Ghost just comes upon you. Oh. Yeah. Thank you for my dear friend, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for him, God. Thank you for him. Bless. And let the power of God right now. Jesus, mighty. Awesome name. Listen, Adam, place me there. There you are. Lift your hands. Power of God comes on you. And bye-bye. Heart of stone. Anybody else out here? La, 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 la. What a marvelous, marvelous God. Healing? Yeah. Let the power of God come into his body. Heal him. Oh, you better sit down because you're going to go down anyway.
Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
Lala, can I minister to you two, you young people? You're beautiful people. You're beautiful people. Our God just wants to just give you a blast from heaven.
There's a cataract on this side.
Okay, well, believe God. All right. Just come in. That's it. You've got people behind you in case anything happens, so don't worry. Father, remove that cataract from my sister's eye, Lord Jesus Christ. Let the power of God go over her and bless and refresh this wonderful couple. Thank you for all the years of experience. Now touch them mightily, mightily with the Holy Ghost. Mightily. That's all right. Now he's all right. You come back here. Oh no, you might as well sit down because you're only going to go down. Look at her, she's out to it.
God's starting to put a ministry team.
Good. Keep going with that. I feel like I'm a choo-choo train. Ho, 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 ha, 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 he. So simple. Those watching by webcam, receive the power of God right now in Jesus' name. We don't do this for show. You've taken the time to watch this service. So in Jesus' name, I release the fire of God upon you now. Command your bodies to be healed. I command you to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Touch now with the power of God. Touch now with the power of God. Touch now with the power of God in Jesus' name. Hey, we've got a meeting tomorrow night. Come back. Tomorrow night at 6:30, Friday, Saturday. We want to stoke this revival fire hot. If you're the sort of person who knows a lot of people, get on the blower. Get on the phone to them. Tell them to come. If they won't come off, they'll pick them up. If they still say no, say no. Just respect that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these wonderful people. Come out here, sir. God is going to completely... Where's my helper? I need a helper here, quick. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. That's right. They're all running now. Lift your hands. I break that spirit, that curse over your marriage now in Jesus' name. I speak by the Spirit of God. Gonna break all that tension. Gonna break that control. Putting it back on my foot. So Jesus, just touch this marriage now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the power of God just come upon him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come here, Mr. Blue Jumper. I like you. You're a good man. And I'm not gay, don't worry. I told him I liked him, you see. Well, Jesus, just touch him. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible, isn't it? Come out of here, Elaine. I want to touch you. And Mr. Guitar Man, come. And Mr. Brother, come. The Three Stooges. No, they're not the Three Stooges. Mrs. Worship Leader. Who's got about 100 kids. Are you married yet? That's good. You soon will be. Just lift your hands. Don't be in too much of a hurry. You need a very special lady in your life because you're high maintenance. You're going to need it. I didn't say that you're a problem. You're just high maintenance. You live in guitar land, and that's good. You need a missus who live in guitar land with you because you're gonna see a lot of people healed and delivered as you play that guitar. Yes. You are zamaring in God. You are striking the fingers with musical power tonight that was releasing the prophetic in people's lives in Jesus' name. You got a great voice, man. If anybody can be committed, her and her husband's little tribe of seven, goodness me. Yeah, they're so faithful, Lord Jesus Christ. See her husband eating dinner downstairs. Obviously, he comes home from work and just comes to church and eats here. That's commitment, God. Man, if they can be committed with such a big family, God, in Jesus' name, there's no excuse for any of us. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. An increase in that prophetic. An increase in that wonderful gift that you have. Oh, Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Yabba, 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 do. Mr. Cameraman, receive the power of God. Thank you for him, Lord. I imparted, Lord, in my spirit into him and from the Holy Ghost. Now do it again. I want this young man to get so on fire. He'll be as happy as a pig in mud. He won't know what to do with himself. Jesus, Jesus. Fire, 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 fire. Fire, fire. Quick, somebody call the fireman. He's got it. Sorry about your camera work. That'll look good on camera. Picture of his feet. How you doing down there? Wow, what am I? Just lift your hands to Jesus and say, Jesus, we love you. This is really all about him. Can you sense the revival spirit in this place, friends? I'm telling you, we keep saying it over and over again. We're not trying to convince you. We're trying to. Roy tried it, and I'm trying just to expose to you what revival spirit is, and I'm telling you, this is the beginnings of it. Come tomorrow night. Let's pack this place out in midweek. It's fantastic. Honestly, this is a great crowd for Tuesday night. Give yourselves a hand for coming. Seriously. Mr. Brownie, come here. Brown shirt. I see the anointing of God all over you. If I could have a helper here, in Jesus' mighty name. If anybody else wants a touch from God, just lift your hand and indicate to me. Because, you know, you can respond on your own. Just lift your hand, sir. Power of God's going to come all over you in Jesus' mighty name. Is anybody else up the back here wanting a touch? Is there what? Great. Just go stand in the aisle over there and I'll come to you. You had a friend of mine, Pastor. You're a man of God, man. I can see God's glory all over your face, sir. I mean that. You are just going to abound. Your church is going to increase and increase. And if you commit yourself to revival, for a while you'll be like doing a double role. This thing's going on. God will be speaking all the time. Come here, come here, come here. Get your people to get everybody here as much as you can because it's going to affect your church. I know you're not, but you don't have to worry about losing your congregation. You'll add to it. You'll add to it. You trust another ministry because this local church is hosting it, but this is about this city. And I know you know that. And I'm not picking up anything that you're thinking funny. Not at all. I'm just encouraging you. God's going to honor you in your own work for believing and supporting another man's work. But this is Jesus' work. So just lift your hands. I thank you for this wonderful brother. Keep on giving him blast. Thank you, Lord, that his ministry is taking off in a new level, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, let it be another level again tonight. Oh, God, when you lay his hands on people, let him feel the glory. Let him feel the glory. Let him give the glory. Oof. In Jesus' mighty name. It's strong here, isn't it? You can feel it. You'll take more. Well, you're a very unusual man.
Thank you.
But you're a good man. Oh. I didn't kill you. I have an ear infection. Okay. I rebuke this ear infection. I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Ear infection, go. Lightheadedness, go. Power of God, just come upon her now. There it is. That'll be all gone. Jesus, just touch this wonderful man. Touch him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Who's there? You want him pray? Sorry. Just lift your hands, and as you do, the power of God will just fill you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this dear lady. Bless them all, Lord Jesus Christ. God's a marvelous God. Have a look at the CDs downstairs if you so desire. And you're welcome to keep in the presence of God, but we'll just close the meeting down. If you can, please come back tomorrow. Bring friends along. I mean it. Just don't. Yeah. Bring them along. This will not hurt them. I promise you it will bless them. I can't promise you they'll all be healed because I'm not God. But I can promise you they'll all go away having an encounter with God and blessed. They will. Tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday. And then we'll announce to you on Saturday if there's meetings are going on. I've got a sneaky suspicion they will. But that's up to the leadership to decide that here. But it's definitely on tomorrow, Friday. So you've got Thursday off, in other words. Jesus, bless all these wonderful people now. In Jesus' name. Good night.